The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. And every episode of the show, we want to help you build your personal prescription for power. That's right. This is Your Power RX. And joining me today is Dr. Anna Yuseem. Dr. Yuseem is an award-winning, internationally recognized psychiatrist, a keynote speaker, and best-selling author of Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. She has a psychiatry practice in Manhattan, where she has studied biology, philosophy, neuroscience, and helped over 1,000 patients. Along her journey, Dr. Yuseem traveled, lived, and worked in over 50 countries while studying Kabbalah, learning Buddhist meditation, and working with South American shamans and Indian gurus. She lives in Manhattan with her husband. I can't wait to hear about this. Welcome to the show, Dr. Yuseem.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taz. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. You've had a fascinating journey. You're a psychiatrist. You see everything, I'm sure. Tell us a little bit about how it has been to treat what I think are one of the biggest mental health epidemics of any century and be working with patients day in and day out on conditions like anxiety, depression, OCD, bipolar, and so much more that we see today. And then marrying it with a super interesting journey that you've had through all these different philosophies of thinking.
Right. Yeah. So, you are, I think, so right on in terms of this being such an epidemic in our country. And where do these problems come from? Anxiety, depression, OCD. They come first and foremost. Obviously, there's, you know, biological determinants, chemical imbalances, but on a psychological level and on a spiritual level, it comes from a deep inner emptiness. And that is what I seek first thought in my own life to fill, and now I'm seeking to help my patients fill, both through psychological, pharmacologic where needed, but also spiritual techniques. And I think that that inner emptiness is really, just like you said, a global and certainly a national epidemic. People have the sense that something is missing and they don't know how to fill it. So in my work with patients, I help them to fill it by looking at a number of psychological and spiritual tools, which I can tell you about today.
So talk to me, though, about this inner emptiness. You know, we have churches, we have synagogues, we have mosques and temples, we have millions of different places of worship. Why is it in this era, in this generation or two, in the last 50 years, I would almost say, why is it that inner emptiness has become so rampant? Why is it that mental health has become such an issue when one could very well argue that we've got sort of the tools already there? What's happening? What's changing? What's shifting to make this such an urgent issue now?
Right. And I think that a lot of it has to do, there's actually a number of factors, but first and foremost, it's that people all around them are bombarded with all of these ideas of what their life should be like, what they should want, who they should be. And what that does is it alienates people from themselves and from their own authenticity. So that's actually the first premise of my book, is how to regain that, how to reconnect with who you really are and start to live the life that is most deeply yours, like really aligning with your own soul again. That's number one. So one of the first reasons is from a sense of disconnection from oneself. Now, the second reason that we have this emptiness is people feel actually quite disconnected from each other. And even though you have all of this cyber technology to connect you in a million different ways, often what that does is it creates this illusion of connection, whereas in reality, you still feel empty inside. You can't imagine how many people come in and come in from depression, from anxiety, that is a product of what happened on Facebook, what happened on Instagram, how somebody ghosted them, how someone didn't respond, how they saw somebody post this picture, and it created for them all sorts of jealousy and a feeling of lack. And that brings me to the third premise, that feeling of lack. In our society, it's so easy to look around you and see all of the things that are lacking in your life and really miss that which is in abundance. And no matter who you are, no matter where you're living, no matter what issues you're grappling with, everybody has a lot of abundance in their life and could look at their life from a perspective of abundance rather than one of lack. So that's something else that I focus on in the practice.
So finding our authenticity and understanding that we have more abundance than we realize. And it's so interesting that you bring up the point about social media. You know, it's fascinating from so many books that have been written to what I'm seeing with children, to even what we all experience as adults, you know, we are becoming more and more disconnected. And a lot of the social media is our highlight reel, right? It's not real life. It's we want to share like when we're dressed up or when we've accomplished something or when something amazing's happened to somebody in our family or in our workplace. But we never show us like sitting on a couch going through a pint of ice cream because we've had a really bad day, or, you know, sitting around in our sweats without our hair done and our makeup done. We never show those pictures on social media. And I'm finding that children and teenagers in particular are having a really hard time discerning like real life versus social life, you know, and it's becoming an epidemic and it's becoming a real problem. I also recently did a TED Talk, and in doing that, one of my fellow TED Talk speakers was talking about how there's tremendous power in looking up. We're all looking down. We're looking at our phones. We're looking at our computers. We have chronic neck pain and back pain, but we're not connecting. And the simple power of looking at each other in the eye and smiling and acknowledging one another, saying, I see you present, can be just so fulfilling and create such an instant connection. And we are totally removing that from our day-to-day experience. How does...
I love that. I love what you're saying.
I know. It's just it's crazy.
Yeah, and I
so
feel,
how... Go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but how would you deal with that? How would you help us like readjust to what's happening?
Right. And kind of to use this beautiful analogy of looking down versus looking up, I think that in order to truly feel fulfilled, we need to look in three places. We need to look inward. We need to look, you know, up at the other people in our lives, and then up even higher to connect to something greater than ourselves, which is the third part of my book. And really believing that there is something greater, which is a source of guidance, a source of protection, if you would like it to be that. And it really is whatever you make of it. It doesn't have to be God. It doesn't have to be part of any sort of organized religion. And it could be as simple as Mother Nature or a collective consciousness or even the universe. Or for some people who, you know, prefer to label themselves agnostic, atheist, etc., it could be a set of collective values that elevate the human spirit and help to elevate one's soul. Values like hope and trust and love. And that also is a connection to something greater than ourselves. And so I love, you know, this model of where to look for happiness. And that's inside for authenticity, at the people around you for love, and above for meaning and purpose.
Hang on, more with Dr. Taz coming up. Now, you know mindful eating is an essential part of self-care. We all know that every part of our life is enhanced when we eat nourishing, healthy meals. But eating right can be hard to maintain. You know it, and I know it, but that's where Sunbasket comes in to help, offering 18 weekly recipes, including paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and more, all delivered to your door. How easy is that? Oh, do you want to know what has been delivered to my door recently? How about salmon burgers with caper remoulade and roasted matchstick fries, and pork katsu with black pepper garlic mayo, wilted greens, and jasmine rice? Can you say yum? Now, Sunbasket takes care of all the details, so it's easier to take care of yourself. So here's the deal. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep. You can get a healthy and delicious meal on the table in about 30 minutes. Just go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. Once again, sunbasket.com/wholehealth. And now back to Dr. Taz.
So the book for everybody out there listening today, I hope you're paying attention, is Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. And in the book, Dr. Yuseem goes through some of the basic tenets of helping us deal with so many of the mental health issues that we see today and to live the life we were meant to live. We talk about power all the time on the show. So here are some prescriptive things you can use to find your power. Dr. Yuseem, just to recap for folks listening. So number one, find your authentic power. Look inside, as you mentioned, look at each other and look up, and then look for a higher power. Look to find something that protects you and fulfills you, regardless of what your religious makeup may be or where you may fall into the spectrum of different cultures and and beliefs. You know, in your journey of kind of navigating, as I was reading in the introduction, of kind of navigating between the shamans and the Buddhist meditations and all the different things you saw, what were some universal truths that you could take away from that, that in this journey for us that you're challenging us to, of looking within, looking outward, and then looking even higher, that you know to always be true no matter which tradition you were in? What was some of their wisdom that they wanted to impart to us regardless of who they were?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. And that really is, you know, my whole question in going to all these different places to try to understand the different traditions is, what is it that unites us? Because religion, spirituality can also be something that so sadly is so divisive in the world. And so among those truths are, number one, the importance of love. And love is something that is so universal. It's something that authenticity actually is a form of love. It's a form of self-love and self-care. And that is something that I work with so many of my patients, especially I have a lot of doctor, I have a lot of nurse, psychiatrist patients. And these are the people who are your universal healers. They are so good at taking care of others, they often forget to take care of themselves. They often don't know how. They got into this profession precisely because they're so good at giving and not as good at self-care. But at the end of the day, you can't take care of others unless you're taking care of yourself first. So that's number one, love. And a precondition to love being self-love. Number two is this idea of a soul correction. That's actually the second part of my book. The soul correction is that thing which comes up in your life over and over and over again, often much to your chagrin and dismay, and despite your best efforts to change it. It's what Sigmund Freud called a repetition compulsion. And you could know your soul correction by asking yourself the question, what is the greatest source of pain in my life? And for everybody, it's something different. For some people, it's being more dependent. It's being able to find love, to find a relationship. For some people, it's being more independent, being able to break free from their dependency and need of other people, of, you know, depending on a man or a woman for their sense of self-worth. So whatever your soul correction, it's so important to understand that and to recognize that that which is often such a source of pain is precisely that which is transforming and enabling you to grow and become the best version of yourself. So those are some universal truths.
Yeah, and that's so amazing. Where I feel like I personally struggle, to be 100% honest, and I see other people struggle as well, we understand that. We understand the importance of embracing our own authenticity. We understand the importance of finding those soul connections and listening to those internal voices that drive us in different directions. How do we make that tangible? I have a few tricks and tools that I use, but I would love more. How do we make that tangible? Because there's, again, too much noise, too much around us, too much technology. It's easy to intellectualize being authentic, right? It's easy to rationalize
exactly.
It. I feel like the mind can do anything. The mind can convince us that anything is the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's why people that commit crimes get in trouble and all that other stuff. But how do you connect to what is authentic without over-rationalizing, overthinking, and really getting down to you, getting down to all that stuff before people pile layers and layers of junk on top of it?
Right. And it's such an important question. And also a question here in New York City in my Manhattan practice, everybody's always over-intellectualizing. That's just the nature of the beast. Not only that, but people are rewarded for intellectualizing in all
right.
the spheres of their life. But when it comes to knowing oneself, the intellectual understanding of oneself is only one part of who we are as human beings. So you are exactly right. So how do you take people away from that and help them connect really to their soul or to what I call their intuition? So intuition is that still quiet voice that can only be heard when the screaming of your thoughts and the intense screaming or talk of emotions temporarily ceases. And how do you get in touch with that? You can get in touch with that through, number one, meditation. That's a tool that people often use. But the other thing is also just programming the mind. You're exactly right that the mind can do anything. And we can program our mind. We can set intentions and say, yeah, I over-intellectualize. But you know what? I want to connect to what I most deeply want at the deepest level of who I am, to my heart and soul level. And I'm setting the intention to do that. I don't know exactly how that's going to come to be, but I want some signs. I want some guidance from the universe as to how to get there. And then throughout the day, throughout the week, you ask yourself, you know, in a few key places throughout the week, whenever you remember, what do I most deeply want? And then you see what comes. comes up, not just in your mind, but also in your body. Where do you feel the answer? What part of your body is, you know, responding to that? Is it your heart? Is it your stomach? Is it your head? Are you feeling some neck pain? And let's see what comes up when you ask yourself over and over and over, what do I most deeply want? That's one way. And another way is, and I often work with patients to do this, is to ask for signs. The universe is a very dynamic entity. It will respond to you. When you ask for guidance, when you ask for that wink from the universe, from God, you will get that wink, but you have to ask for it and be open for it. And that wink, you can know, people often say, well, how do I know this is a sign? How do I interpret this? You can program that too and say, I would like the universe, God, whatever your name is or something greater than oneself, I would like a sign from God or from the universe that I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt is indeed a sign meant for me. You can ask with that certainty and clarity, and then you don't have to interpret, and then you open yourself up and see what comes in. And I have, with patients I've done that, have had amazing results. Some, you know, very disturbing, and some incredibly powerful, where people got messages, got lessons that really changed the course of their being.
So I love, these are such great tips, and I hope everyone was able to catch that. I think the first, maybe we know, but we need reinforcement, the importance and the power of meditation, even if it's, I just want to remind everyone, even if it's like 1 to 3 minutes, everyone thinks they need to block off 30 minutes a day to meditate, but sometimes even 1 to 3 minutes of quiet is so powerful. And then reminding everyone out there to ask the question. Many times we want something, we're seeking something, but we never ask. And if we never ask, we're not going to get the answers. And it's almost eerie, it's almost creepy sometimes that when I do ask, how things just keep popping up and showing up and appearing in my lives. And quite honestly, even me working with patients, not always on mental health issues, but on different issues like fertility or pain or fatigue or things like that, the same principles and the same rules apply. Do you apply these to your patients with anxiety and bipolar disorder and OCD? Are you able to apply these same tools and techniques to them? Or do they need something different? Do they need something more structured or more supervised in order to be successful?
Absolutely. When patients are open to this, when they're open to a spiritual approach, I always integrate that no matter what the condition. There are, of course, patients whose conditions are such that as of now, starting the work together that we do, it warrants a psychopharmacologic approach. And I do prescribe medication when medically indicated. So I have a number of patients who first we will stabilize their bipolarity. Like if they come to me in a manic episode, we'll stabilize them. And then we'll start to ask together, okay, you got a lot of signs in your manic state. How do we make sense of that? What were the signs telling you? What was real and what was mania? And then how do we use that connection to enable you to move forward in your life and to be able to use your connection to something greater? Because usually people who, when they have manic episodes, they're very, very connected. They just don't know what to do with all the energy coming in. They don't know how to harness that connection. So then we try to, once they're stabilized, reevaluate that and say, okay, well, now what do? In the future, when you have all these signs, how do you use them in the service of yourself and not go off the rails?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's always tricky as a physician and as maybe a family member out there. Like when does this person need help? When do they not? And to do any of this work, remember you have to have balanced chemistry. It has to begin there. Or again, just like the mind can over-rationalize, your intuition can go off in different directions. Chemistry determines so much of the power of our thought and so much of the power of our intuition. So getting that balanced chemistry, I think, is so, so important. Tool that I love, and I don't know if you use this in your practice or not, and I talk about it all the time. People who listen to me are probably going to laugh, but I love morning pages. It was an idea by Julia Cameron. I love it. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's like journaling, but her point is in the morning, before you start doing 50 million things and checking your phones and things like that, spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes dumping everything out on paper. And I think it's a minimum, if I remember correctly, 3 pages a day, and just get your clutter out there. So for those of you who can't meditate or can't stay still, set your alarm to wake up just 15 minutes ahead of time, get that paper out and just write. And it can be gibberish and it can be garbage. But if you do it consistently for 30 to 45 days, sometimes, again, that authenticity, that spark, that intuition will come to you and great ideas evolve. So I love using that too. Do you use that much in practice?
Oh, all the time. Stream of consciousness writing. I love that, especially first thing in the morning, like you said. And another tool that I find very powerful is similar to in the morning, to do something right before you go to sleep. This is something in the book by Harvard professor Deidre Barrett in the book Committee on Sleep. You can actually program your unconscious mind to work for you while you're asleep. this sleep is, when I awaken, I will have clarity about what I should do with this relationship, or I will have a novel solution to this mathematical problem I'm working on and can't seem to solve, or I'm going to have some guidance as to what I need to do about this really crazy social problem that I'm having. And you program it, and then you, just like you said, keep something to write with in the morning, and as soon as you awaken, you just write whatever comes to you, whatever you remember. And it's been really amazing because this is a technique that indigenous people for many generations have used to better understand and connect with themselves. And Deidre Barrett has shown that artists, musicians, individuals who are very creative can use this technique to harness their creativity, but it's also something accessible to all of us. And it's so powerful because so much of the work and so much of the clarity we get from our lives doesn't come from our conscious mind. It comes from our unconscious mind, which is playing and, you know, working for us while we're asleep. So this is a powerful technique that I talk about in my book as to how to harness that and also connect to your soul in a different way.
And it's so easy. All you need is pen and paper.
Yeah.
And again, it's paper
exactly.
And pen and that hand to the brain. It's not typing on the computer. I think that's such a powerful tool. Anyone can do it. You don't like to meditate, try that instead and help find your authenticity. Before we run out of time, I want to do these two questions, which I think everyone out there asks themselves at any given moment on their journey. The first one is how to stop drawing in emotionally unavailable men. Is there a trick to that? And the second is elevating your own personal consciousness and finding your soulmate. What would you say to people who, I get so many patients who are in that journey. What would you say to them?
Yes. And this is my favorite question because this was my journey for a long time. And I talk about that in my book. And the idea with that is we don't draw into our lives that which we want. We draw into our lives that which we are. For so many years, I was drawing into my own life these emotionally unavailable men, one after the other. And they were also interesting and charismatic. And as long as I was unavailable to them, they were totally, totally into me. And then as soon as the idea of a relationship came up, they ran like the wind. And this was a pattern, and it kept happening year after year, man after man. So what was going on? And it was only when I realized the spiritual principle, which I call the mirror principle of, we don't draw into our lives who we want. We draw in who we are. Why was I drawing in all these emotionally unavailable men? Because there was a part of me that was emotionally unavailable. So I had to look inside and do a lot of work and better understand. Even though here I am saying, I want a committed relationship. I want to get married. Obviously, that's really not the truth because if that was the case, I'd be in a committed relationship and I'd be married. But instead, I'm going through over and over and over the same cycle with all of these unavailable men. So there was something about me that was very unavailable. And it was only in looking deep inside and starting to deal with my own fear of intimacy, my own fear of love, my fear of commitment and abandonment and rejection and all those other things that have piled up over the years that I was able to become emotionally available, to open my heart to love and ultimately draw in my soulmate who I married 2 years ago.
Oh, congratulations. That's amazing. For anyone out there today who's still in that space where you're trying to find the right person for you and you're wondering why you keep attracting the wrong person, I hope you also get something out of this because a part of our personal power is finding the person that complements us, but in the right way. Dr. Yuseem, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I know I have been re-inspired by listening to you and motivated to, again, always connect to my authenticity. And for everyone else out there, I hope you at least remember her three rules. Remember to look inward, remember to look outward and connect, and then also to look upward and seek a source that protects you at all times. The book, again, just for anyone interested in getting deeper into some of this, is Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier and More Meaningful Life. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Yuseem and her amazing work, remember again, the book is Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. And you can find her on her website at annayuseem.com. It's annayuseim.com. Thanks for joining and join us next time for another edition of Your Power RX.